Give me the general premise, how you tie in bankers or banksters with physics, high finance, and ancient religion, the general sort of your general theme, and then we'll jump into some specifics.
Well, basically, George, my theme in the book has been to try and show that there has been a consistent pattern exhibited by what we would call the international bankers, or I like to call them banksters because I think they're in kind of a racketeering business. But the basic premise is that there are two different ways to approach physics and finance. And the first way is to approach them as closed systems. In other words, systems based on scarce energy, scarce resources, and therefore scarce money. And then the second system is to approach both systems as open systems where energy is in abundant supply if you just know how to tap into it, and where money in turn reflects this by being the creation of the state and therefore a debt-free instrument of exchange. So I'm attempting to tie those two basic concepts together and then to show kind of a consistent pattern of activity on the fact of these banksters doing certain things in modern times, and then I use that as kind of a template to go back and look at ancient times and see pretty much the same activity.
So your basic contention is that what's unfolded now is not an aberration, that it's the result of centuries of activity by the same players, basically.
Yes, essentially that's correct. The book really moves between the modern period and the very ancient one. I don't really fill in the medieval period other than very, very briefly. You know, if I had done this as a thorough scholarly study, then the book would have been several books. So I just decided to kind of give a very high overview of the subject.
All right. Well, help me understand the link to alchemy.
Well, alchemy—that's an excellent question. Alchemy is, of course, the science of or pseudoscience, depending upon one's lights, of transmuting base metals into gold. But the further you dig back into alchemical texts, the more apparent it becomes that what they're really talking about is a physics of the physics of the physical medium, in other words, of space-time. And it's that medium itself that creates information. It creates everything that exists and transmutes itself, essentially. So alchemy, viewed in that sense, from that physics approach, is kind of a transmutational physics. Now, the tie-in with finance is that money, if you look at it, the two philosophies of money, if you look at it, it is a kind of an alchemy in itself. You're taking something and transmuting it into a medium of exchange and then using it to buy goods and services. And there's two kinds, as far as I'm concerned, there's two kinds of alchemy that are in evidence. One, of course, is the system that we've been living under, where you have a private banking monopoly issuing monetized debt. In other words, the money always carries an interest-bearing load on it. And so it's always going to be money that's in shorter supply than the demands of the economic system that it's in. The other kind is kind of a true alchemy where you're basing it on the productive output of a given state, and that ties very directly into the physics of the zero-point energy where you're dealing with an energy that's constantly productive. So, again, you know, we're back to that basic idea that we're dealing with two different kinds of systems, a closed system physics and a closed system financial system, and an open system physics and an open system financial system.
Take us back to the beginning, as far back as you can go, that sort of ties into what we see happening now.
Well,
how far back?
That's a loaded question,
of course it is.
Yeah, it really opens up the Pandora's box. If you go back all the way back to ancient Sumer and Akkad and the Mesopotamian region, the very earliest form of money was, of course, state-issued money. In other words, it was issued debt-free, and essentially what they used as money were nothing but cuneiform tablets, little clay tablets, that were basically orders on the surpluses of the state warehouse. In other words, if we were to put it into modern terms, it would be a note or a paper note that would be circulated against the gross domestic product of the United States. In other words, it would be debt-free. Now, over time, what happened was the issuing authority in those ancient cultures ultimately became entangled with the temple. In other words, it was religion that sort of gave money its sanctity and its probity. And one of the things that begins to happen is, as these various cultures trade with each other, is you see the rise of an international mercantile class that then begins to specialize in bullion, in the issuance of bullion. And what they do is they ally themselves with the temple. In other words, they get the probity of the temple and of religion. And then they begin to, quite frankly, to counterfeit the state-issued notes, because it's the temples that have control over the minting back then. So they begin to counterfeit through the temple and issue state-issued notes that are really beyond the authority or the authorization of the state, and they collapse the currency. And then they step in and say, well, why don't we use bullion as a basis or a medium of exchange? And that will be able to better handle international traffic. But, of course, they're the ones that control the bullion trade. So in essence, what you get down to is you get down to the circulation of an interest-bearing note, because they control the bullion trade, and they gradually substitute that kind of monetized debt for the circulating issues of the state, and eventually they take those issues out of circulation. So again, if you want to draw the modern parallel, you can go back and think of President Kennedy and his issuance of those United States notes. I remember as a kid even spending some of those.
Or maybe even more direct is the Wall Street bankers who are bundling together mortgages, debt, in essence, and selling debt as a product.
Yes, exactly so. Exactly so. Well, that's all the Federal Reserve note is. It's just simply monetized debt. Because, of course, you know, the basic lesson that people have to learn is that any bank, including the Federal Reserve, can never issue interest. They can only lend money into circulation. And any time money is lent, it, of course, carries interest. So there's never enough money in circulation to pay the interest on the principal. A state, on the other hand, can not only lend money into circulation, but it can issue money. So when it issues money, it issues it debt-free. Well, you know, I remember spending those Kennedy United States notes with the red seal on them as a kid. But what the Federal Reserve did is anytime it received those notes in its transactions, it simply took them out of circulation. And this is, again, this is a very, very old ploy that the banksters have used going back millennia.